Hare Krishna,
welcome
everybody to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Prasannatma Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam 4.12.30 verse onwards. Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much for your spontaneous class, Prabhuji. We are very grateful to you. Please take over the call, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, thank you so much for giving this opportunity and let's start with prayer. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrutva Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat Trunvatam Swakataha Krishnaha Punya Sravana Kirtanaha Pradayam Tastahi Abhadrani Vidinoti Sukhrut Sutam Nakshta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Savaye Bhagavate Uttamasloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. So today's verse is 4th canto, 12th chapter, 30th verse. So it's a beautiful verse actually. So, Tada uttanapada putra dadarsa antakam agatam ruchyo murni padam drucya aroruha adbutam gruham. So the word-to-word meaning tada at that time. Uttanapada. King of Uttanapada, Putra, son, Dadarsha, could see, Antakam, death personified, Agatam, approached him, Mrityo Murdni, on the head of the death, Padam, feet, Dattva, placing, Aroruha, got up, Adbutam, wonderful, Gruham, on the airplane, which resembled a big house. So, translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and his passports. When Dhruva Maharaj was attempting to get onto the transcendental plane, he saw death personified approach him. Not caring for death, however, he took advantage of the opportunity to put his feet on the head of the death, and thus he got up on the airplane, which was big as a house. Purport, to take the passing away of the devotee and the passing.
Yes.
Prabhu came. So, Prabhuji, I was trying to contact you, but couldn't, so Prabhuji started, so you take over the classroom.
Yeah, actually, I'm sorry, you know, so I just got confused of time, although you mentioned, but the time thing was problematic. I just got confused. Anyway, sorry
for the confusion. You can take over the classroom. This is Prasannatma, yes, I met you in Omaha. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhu, Hare Krishna. So, this is, I think we are reading from 4:12:30. And, okay, here we are now. Okay, so did you read the verse? I think they have already read the verse, so.
Yeah, I read the verse and translation, and I just started reading the purport. You can take over
from
the purport. Hare Krishna. Fine.
Yeah, Prabhu, thank you. So anyway, I'm sorry to all devotees because I think I got confused in the time. In India, it's like 1 hour delay now because of your daylight saving. So, but anyway, so this is 4th canto, 12th verse, 12th chapter and 31st verse. And this is again Dhruva Maharaj. We are with Dhruva Maharaj now. he's still with us so long time. So this is the verse 4, 12 and 30th verse we are reading. and the verse goes like this. Paritya Bhyareya Dhishnayanga Agrayam Parshadau Abhivandyacha Yeshatat Adhishthatum Vibrat Rupam Hiranyamayam. Okay, translation we have already read. I think I'll read the translation again, at least for myself. Before getting abroad, Dhruva Maharaj worshipped the airplane, circumambulated it, and also offered obeisances to the associates of Vishnu. In the meantime, he became as brilliant and illuminating as molten gold. Thus, he was completely prepared to board the transcendental plane. Yeah, this is Paritya Abhyarchaya Dhishnaya Agrayam. Yeah. He became illuminated. The word is Bhivrat. Yeah, I think we'll talk about this. Let's read the Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, yeah, Prabhupada is saying, Prabhupada, in the absolute word, the plane, the associates of Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu himself are all spiritual. There is no material contamination. In quality, everything, there is one. As Lord Vishnu is worshipable, so also are his associates and his paraphernalia, his airplane and his abode, for everything of Vishnu is as good as Lord Vishnu. Dhruva Maharaj knew all this very well as a pure Vaishnava, and he offered his respects to the associates and to the plane before riding in it. But in the meantime, his body changed into spiritual existence. His body changed into spiritual existence. And therefore it was illuminating like molten gold. In this way, he also became one with the other paraphernalia of Vishnu Lok. Mayavadi philosophers cannot imagine how this oneness can be achieved even in different varieties. The idea of oneness is that there is no variety. Therefore, they have become impersonalist. As Shishumar, Vishnu Lok, or Dhruva Lok are completely different from this material world, so a Vishnu temple within this world is also completely different from this material world. As soon as we are in the temple, we should know very well that we are situated differently from the material world. In this temple, Lord Vishnu, his throne, his room, and all other things associated with the temple are all transcendental. The three modes, Sattva Guna, Rajaguna, Tamaguna, have no entrance into the temple. It is said, therefore, to live in the forest is in mode of goodness, to live in cities in mode of passion, to live in brothel or liquor shop or slaughterhouse is in mode of ignorance, but to live in the temple means living in Vaikuntha Lok. Everything in temple is as worshipable as Lord Vishnu or Krishna. Yeah, excellent verse, an excellent purport, an excellent teaching. And let's discuss this. I'll just offer obeisances. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshirun Mulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namah Namam Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gurvani Prasara Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschateshtarane. Yeah, so Dhruva Maharaj, we are back to him. And he's going back to Godhead. He's so lucky to go back to God. It needs tremendous amount of luck and tremendous amount of endeavor and tremendous amount of blessings to go back to Vishnu Lok, and he'll done it basically. And especially a plane has come to receive him. That's what is happening here. And he offered. So when the plane arrived from Vishnu Lok to take him, for non-devotees, Yamdutas come. Now those non-devotees, by non-devotees we mean sinful people and also pious people. Both of them are escorted by Yamadutas. You might say, well, okay, fine. Sinful people are taken by Yamaduta, but what about pious people? Why they are taken by Yamaduta? So, well, the whole point is when Yamadutas, they appear differently to different people. Now, to sinful people, they appear very ghastly, and the whole description is given in Garuda Puran about the appearances. In fact, Lord Vishnu says to Garuda, you please don't ask how Yamadutas look, because you might become unconscious. So you might become unconscious. That's the whole point. and how Yamdutas look like, and it so in brief, they, so if you happen to see them, I mean to say, we might see them when we die, who knows. We are devotees, yeah, devotees do not see Yamduta, but are we devotees? That's the whole point. Or are we trying to be devotees? Or are we devotees externally, non-devotees internally? It's a very complex situation. So, but whatever it is, we'll not be able to cheat them. They are over smart. They are much smarter than us. And when they come, to people who are sinful, so now we are talking about non-devotees, people who are sinful non-devotees, they, to them, Yamdutas appear pitch black. They have a black dress, they have a black body, pitch black body. And their whole body stinks like a pit of stool and urine and pus and blood and semen. And like that, their whole body stinks. And especially the smell of rotten dead rats comes from the mouth when they speak. And when you see them, their whole face is disfigured. They might have eyes on their forehead and nose on the chin and mouth in the place of eyes. It's all disfigured. It's very dangerous. And they have nails. And the whole point is, they have just one emotion. Just one emotion. That is enviousness. That's all. They don't have lust. They don't have mercy. They don't have greed. They don't have love. They don't have any emotion. Emotions, these kind of emotions do not exist in their being. There's just one emotion through and through their body and all their cells, and that is enviousness. And that's why you can't plead mercy from them. That's the whole point. Even if you plead mercy, they don't understand what is mercy. Just like if you, just like a small child cannot understand what's lust. They cannot understand what's mercy. So the more you plead, the more they will beat you, because they can't understand what you're saying. They just are envious. And that's what is Yamdutas, when they appear like this to people who are sinful non-devotees, people who are pious non-devotees. To them, they appear in white dress and of course white color. They are, so they have a fair complexion, let's say like that, not white color, of course, fair complexion with dress. And they appear very serene. Yamdutas appear like that to them. And very beautiful. Like, almost like angels. So, this is for pious non-devotees. And then they are spotted by Yamdutas to Yamalok. And there, the pious people, they enter through northern gate. And the sinful people, they enter through the southern gate. There are two gates in Yamalok, and that the name of Yamalok is Simantapuri. I think this is the name. Samyapuri something, yeah. I think Simantapuri only. So...
Samyamani.
Or say... So what's that? What's that? Can anybody repeat?
Is it Samyamani?
Yeah, right. Yeah, thank you, yeah. Samyamani Puri, yeah, that's called, yeah. So there in that Puri, Yamraj, he comes there. Pious people, they enter through northern gate, sinful people through southern gate, and then they go there, and then there is a person, Chitrakupt, he's standing, and there are two queues, one for pious, one for sinful, and then he's interrogating. And then final decision given by Yamraj. So now the whole point is this Yamraj, he doesn't stay in Yamlok. That's the whole point. That's not his place of residence. He doesn't stay in Yamalok. Yamalok is his office. He stays in Pitralok, where other Pitras stay. Those Pitras, those forefathers were very, very pious. They stay there with Yamaraj. And he comes daily in his office hours, whatever office hours are there he might be having. And then he resides and then decides and whatever. So as with Yamdutas, they, who appear differently to sinful and pious people, is the same case with Yamaraj. To sinful people, he appears exactly like pitch black and smelling and horrible and five faces, 10 hands and fire from his mouth and eyes, and it's horrible. And height is like a mountain. And to pious people, he appears very fair complexion, very beautiful, full of mercy and love, and like that. That's how they appear to sinful and pious people. Now the whole point is, Dhruva Maharaj, he's a devotee. Now to a devotee, he's not escorted by Yamadutas. He's escorted by Vishnudutas. And the word uses Parshada. Parshada Abhivandyacha. He was welcomed by Parshada, by the attendants of Lord Vishnu. Vishnu sent them. And we know the names of these two attendants who came here, Sunanda and Nanda. Sunanda and Nanda, they came from spiritual world to escort Dhruva back to Vishnu Lok in a special plane. And how they appeared, now that's the whole point, how they appeared. Now their appearance is given here. Vibrat Rupam Hiranyamayam. Now that's his appearance. That is their appearance. Now how do we know that's their appearance? Because the scripture says, Bhagavatam says, this is how Dhruva appeared, but at the same time Prabhupada explains in the purport, he started appearing in the same way as Vishnudutas, because Vishnudutas are already in spiritual existence. And this is how they appear. They appear bright and illuminating as molten gold. That is their appearance. Now this is beyond our any imagination. Beyond our any imagination. Now this is what is their appearance. Is they shine like millions of sun. Molten gold. Molten gold, in fact, you can Google molten gold, by the way. Because in the market, you don't get molten gold. Now, that's not 24 karat gold, because pure gold, it is liquid. Pure gold, you can't handle it. So they mix something in that, and then they actually refine it or whatever. Then it becomes hard in tablets, and then you can work on it. This pure gold is always molten. Or very soft, you can't do anything with it. So pure gold, pure molten gold, and you see YouTube how pure molten gold appears. It is anything like ever you have seen. You can just go today, Google, YouTube that pure molten gold, and you see it's completely shining, very, very impressive. That's the whole point. So they were brilliant and illuminating. They were brilliant with the light of knowledge and purity and truth. That's what their light is from the body. They were brilliant in these three. Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. That's spiritual word, by the way. Chandigarh Parishad says. And in fact, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, everything becomes one in spiritual world. And the whole point is, Prabhupada says, everything becomes one means in quality, everything becomes as good as Lord Vishnu. That is spiritual existence. And what is Lord Vishnu? Lord Vishnu is described in Chandigarh Upanishad as Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. That is truth. And Shivam means auspiciousness. Auspiciousness and Sundaram means beauty. That's truth. Auspiciousness is knowledge. And beauty, truth, knowledge and beauty. That's what Vishnu is, I mean, either you can say Satyam Shivam Sundaram or you can say Satchitanand, it's all the same. It's a different way of saying Satchitanand. So Sat means truth. Sat means Satya. Satya means truth. And truth means which is eternal, which can never be destroyed. So that's Sat. Chit means knowledge. That's Shivam. Knowledge means auspiciousness. Shivam means auspiciousness. Knowledge by knowledge comes auspiciousness and morals and dharma. And then Sundaram. Sundaram means Ananda. Beauty is Ananda. Always. Ananda is beauty. Happiness is beauty, isn't it? So, my life became beautiful, we say. My life became beautiful when she entered in my life. And what does that mean? That means my life became full of happiness. So that's the whole point. That is Vishnu, and that's what Vishnu's associates are. That's what his paraphernalia are. Prabhupada says in this line, in quality everything becomes one. As Lord Vishnu is worshipable, so also his associates, paraphernalia, airplane, aboard, everything of Lord Vishnu is as good as Lord Vishnu. They become one in quality. And so even associates of Lord Vishnu, they are illuminating. Vibrat, the word Vibrat is used illuminating. The word Vibrat is a very common word which is used in Bhagavatam again and again. Vibrat. Now this Vibrat word is coming from the word in the Sanskrit it is Vibrat, yeah. Yeah, Bhrad. So Vibrat means which keeps on, I mean to say, which keeps on illuminating, which keeps on illuminating, which keeps on giving light, that's Vibrat. And that Prabhupada translates as illuminating it. And the so light of what? So it's not electromagnetic radiations, of course. In other words, that light is off. And that is spiritual light. And that is not electromagnetic radiations or something, photons. It's not like that. It's different. That light, it is explained in these Upanishads. Hirindamayana patrena satyasya apihita mukham tattavo pushana pavrenu satya dharmaya kalpate. These Upanishads praise, oh my Lord, please remove the effulgence from your face. Hirindamaya patrena. Hirindamaya means the golden effulgence. And the word comes here, Hirindamayam. See? That effulgence, Vibrat Rupam Hiranyamayam. Hiranyamayam, that effulgence was like golden color. Hiranya in Sanskrit means gold. And that's what Upanishad prays. Please remove your golden effulgence. Now, what's that effulgence made of? That's the whole question. Should we ask physicists? What's that effulgence made of? Oh, well, they'll say, yeah, definitely photons, electromagnetic radiations. But no. That's spiritual. That's beyond our conception. Achinte khalu e bhava. Now that effulgence is non-different from Vishnu. That we know. In spiritual world, that's a rule. In quality, everything is one. And because Vishnu is not made of photons and chemicals and whatever it is, Vishnu's body is made of Satchit Anand, Satyam Shivam Sundaram. So similarly, his effulgence should be made of this, Satyam Shivam Sundaram. So here the word Vibrat Hiranyamayam, that illumination is made of truth, knowledge and beauty. Now how do you make a light out of truth, knowledge and beauty? We have no idea. That's the whole point. We have no idea, we can't comment on it. But that's like it. That is spiritual word. That's all. Truth, knowledge and eternity. Truth, knowledge and beauty. Or you can say eternity, knowledge and beauty. Whatever. Because truth is eternal. So that's what is the Parshadas. Parshadas has this illumination and brilliant illumination of truth, knowledge and beauty. And that's what Dhruva Maharaj became. Dhruva Maharaj, his body transformed into that spiritual body. And Prabhupada writes, his body also became effulgent and illuminating. Like Vishnu, like Vishnu's associates. It became like that. His body, meantime, his body changed into spiritual existence. Now, here's the point. His body changed into spiritual existence. Now, the question is how? How did it change? And the answer is given is paritya abhecharya dishanyagram agrayam. The answer is what he did, that his body changed into spiritual existence, spiritual form, and it started illuminating with knowledge, truth and beauty, just like Vaikuntha people. His body started glowing with eternity, with truth, with knowledge, auspiciousness, with beauty and with happiness, and with absolute morals, absolute ideal morals, with no contamination. Absolutely. Sarva dosha vivarjitam. There is no fault whatsoever. Now, how did it happen? That's the whole question. And why did it happen? That's the whole question. I mean to say, if I tell you, well, your body will become effulgent like millions of sun. Do you want? Yeah, of course I want. Who doesn't want? But how this is going to happen? Okay, here's a trick. Here's a solution. Not a trick, but a solution. It might take time, but it'll happen. And how? Paritya abhircaya dishnaya agrayam. And now what he did? He circumambulated now this plane. And of course, along with this plane, Vishnu Dutas who were there in the plane. And along with that, Vishnu himself, because every plane has a deity of Vishnu there. So on the plane, symbol of Vishnu has to be there because it belongs to Vishnu. Just like symbol of a king has to be there on everything. So it is described in Garuda Puran. There is a deity of Vishnu on the plane, which Vishnu Dutas worship. So he circumambulated the plane, along with that Vishnu Purdutas, along with that Vishnu. And that's the whole point. That's the first thing we have to do in a life. If we want to become like Dhruva, if we want to become like illuminating, like Mili. Sons and that. That's another question. And the answer is easy. Why do you want that? Because Parshadam, because we want to become Parshad of Krishna. That's the whole point. That's the word the Parshad is there. It means we want to become close associates of Lord Vishnu. Close associates of Lord Vishnu if you don't become like him. If you want to become an assistant of a king or the personal secretary of a prime minister, you have to be like him. You have to be, at least you have to be well dressed like him. You can't walk with the king or a prime minister in rags. That'll be such offensive to the king. I mean, his respect is not there. So you have at least in dress you have to be like him. I mean to say you have to have a royal dress to be with the king. So to be with Vishnu, you should have a royal body. And the royal body is spiritual body. And spiritual body means Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram, truth, knowledge and beauty. And how does it look like? Brilliant and illuminating like molten gold. So to become associate of Lord Vishnu, to serve him personally, that's what is our desire. We want a perfect master. And only then we can be perfectly satisfied. Yatma suprasiddhati. So, but what to do for that? Well, you do what Dhruva did, paritya. He circumambulated Vishnu, his devotees, the plane. That's what you have to do. And of course, I mean, this is by circumambulation, we mean that Dhruva. Now, what do you mean by circumambulation? That's the whole idea. I mean, to say so many people go to temple and they go three times round and round and round and nothing happens. they don't even understand why they're going round and round. So why is that? Or like, so like for example, in the morning, after this Tulsi Puja, we do Parikrama of Tulsi Varani, Yani Kani Chapa Pani. Now why we are going around Tulsi? What's the point? We have to understand that. If we don't understand that, then our whole going round and round and round and round of Tulsi is just rounds. That's all. So any circumambulation, whether Tulsi or whether in the temple, whether this plane with associates, the idea behind that is that we are expressing that Lord Vishnu and his associates, they are the center of our life. Our life is meant to serve them and them only and nothing else. And similarly, so that's why we circumambulate in the morning around Tulsi. Why? To express the fact that our whole life, the center of our life, is service to Lord Vishnu, because Tulsi Maharani symbolizes service of Lord Vishnu. That's the whole idea there, Paritya. So this thing you have to do whole life. I mean to say, you might not go round and round, but if your center of life is Krishna, actually you are doing parikrama. The whole life of a devotee is a long, long, long parikrama. That's the whole point. And that's why somebody asked that saint, whole life, where did you travel? And that saint told, I didn't travel anywhere. And of course, I mean to say, he traveled from his place to this place to meet this saint. And this saint is asking, where else have you traveled? He said, I didn't travel anywhere. I even didn't travel now. So he said, well, yeah, this is... Because he said, I didn't travel because whole life I was simply doing one thing. I was doing parikrama. I was not traveling. I was circumambulating Lord Vishnu. Even though it didn't seem that I'm circumambulating, or I'm going round and round and round like a machine. That's not the whole point. I'm circumambulating because I'm fulfilling the purpose of circumambulation. And that is to keep service of Lord Vishnu and Lord Vishnu and his devotees as a center of lives. That means to give them the prime importance. That means to live to serve them. That's how it goes. So that's what we have to do, Paritya. That's what Dhruva did. Dhruva not only did circumambulation now, literally, he's doing literally circumambulation now. But Vishnudas were impressed because whole life he was doing that. So it's not that a plane comes from Vaikuntha and you start circumambulating and they will take you back. No. His circumambulation meant it had a meaning in the eyes of Lord, in the eyes of associates of Lord Vishnu. It was not just a farce or a false circumambulation, a hollow, empty ritual which any other person does in ordinary temples. In the eyes of Lord Vishnu, his circumambulation and every step he took in circumambulation, it carried a deep meaning. Why? Because whole life he was serving Vishnu. And now, at this point of time, he has put all those services and all the rewards of those services and all the intentions in those services, pure intentions, he has put them together, and now he is offering them literally when this Vaikuntha plane has come by taking by going around this plane and offering it to Lord Vishnu. So we can do like Lord Dhruva. Like Dhruva. That's the first thing we have to do, circumambulate. In our lives, and not just literally. And the second thing is Abhyarchaya. Abhyarchaya means worshipped. Archan. Abhyarchaya. Abhyarchaya. That's the whole point. The word is made of Abhyarchaya. Abhi means around. Archaya means worship. That means wherever you are going, you are simply worshipping Lord Vishnu. That is the second thing we have to do. And now, of course, we have to worship Lord Vishnu, just like Dhruva did. Abhyarchaya. By worship here, we mean fulfill the desire of Lord Vishnu. That's the whole idea. Worship for devotees is just one thing, fulfilling the desire. There are rituals, there is lamb, there is incense, there is flowers, but everything carries a meaning with it. And all those meanings are connected with the desires of Lord Vishnu. That is what is deity worship, just like, for example, a flower. You offer a flower to Lord Vishnu. Now what you are offering to him, it's not just simple flowers you are offering to Lord Vishnu. Those flowers symbolizes your pure desires. That's what flower symbolizes. And when you take the flower back from the feet of Vishnu and somebody gives you to smell it, then that smell of flower symbolizes the desires of Krishna. That sweet smell symbolizes the desire of Krishna. And when you smell it, and when you take the smell within in your nose, and then it goes into your mind and blood, the devotee understands that with the smell, the desires of Lord Krishna, the unfulfilled desires of Lord Krishna, they are entering his mind and his existence, and he's full of those desires. And then he's inspired to actually fulfill them. So you see deity worship, archaya, that's the whole point. The word is archaya. Deity worship reminds us of fulfilling desires of Lord Vishnu with each item. For example, flower, example I gave, or for example, incense. The smell of the incense, that represents sweet desires of Lord Vishnu again. Or for example, lamp represents the light of those lamps, of those fire, that represents knowledge of Lord Vishnu, or those desires which are effulgent like fire, the lamp represents those desires of Lord Krishna, where he wants to make everyone effulgent like himself, like Dhruva. Now the light of the lamp, it represents his desire to give liberation to all living entities, his desire to actually benefit all living entities. And the desire of flower and incense represents his sweet desires to exchange love with his devotees. So you see, every item in deity worship represents desires. And that's the word used. The word is not used archaya. The word used is abhyarchaya. Abhyarchaya means having worshipped. The whole thing is prefix used is abhi. Abhi plus archaya. So and when you combine them, it becomes abhyarchaya. So that means having worship. That means he was not worshipping whole life in a ritual sense. He was not a ritualistic person, and that's why when he worshipped now, the Vaikuntha people, he worshipped them with paraphernalia. He worshipped them, And they were impressed. In their eyes, his worship carried a deep meaning. Why? Because whole life he was worshipping. And he was not just worshipping ritually, which is also important, but he understood the meaning behind that ritual. He was fulfilling the desires of Lord Vishnu. That's what he was doing. He was fulfilling the desires of Lord Vishnu. And that's what we have to do. If we do these two things, Paritya Abhyarchaya, and if you understand exactly what it means, it is absolutely sure that one plane will come for you, as it came for Dhruva. And we are going back to Godhead. And we'll get a form like devotees of Lord Vishnu, a spiritual form, which is effulgent, illuminating, truth, knowledge, beauty, auspiciousness, happiness, eternity. We become perfect. But we have to do these two things. Circumambulation and worship. And that means, circumambulation means make service of Lord Vishnu and Vishnu as a center of lives. Center of life means that's the prime importance to us. For service and for Vishnu, we can leave everything. Our homes, our money, our life. But for life and for people, we cannot leave devotion. It doesn't go the other way around. For devotion, we can leave the material world, but for material world, we cannot leave devotion. That's paritya. And the second thing we have to do is abhyarcha. Abhyarcha means worship. Worship means, here the word is abhyarcha, that means fulfilling the desires of Lord Vishnu. And we have to understand all his desires, his sweet desires, loving desires, his desires of liberating the souls of this material world, his desires, his merciful desires, all these desires. And that's what Dhruva was doing whole life. And then your worship in your temple will carry a meaning in the lives of Lord Vishnu. Then your circumambulation around Tulasi will carry a meaning in the eyes of Lord Vishnu. Otherwise, we don't understand the purport of what we are doing. Then it's just empty, hollow, superficial, mythological, or ritual. And doesn't please Lord Vishnu. And neither anybody else. So that's what he did. And then Parshadau Abhivandhyacha, he actually offered obeisances to the associates. And then Iesha Tat Adishthatum. And then he attempted to board on the plane. That's interesting. See? He attempted to board on the plane. This is interesting. And it is said that when he attempted to board on the plane, somebody obstructed him. And that was death personified. And the death, it said, well, you cannot go on the plane with this body. You have to leave this body because this body is made of dust and will go on to dust. And then you will go back in your spiritual body. But Dhruva didn't care about it. He stepped on the head of the death. That's the power he got by Paritya and Abhyarchaya. And he boarded on the plane. And as soon as he boarded on the plane, he became one with everything else. That one, now one means... Now that Prabhupada explains in the purport, one means they become one in quality with Lord Vishnu, his body transformed into spiritual body. His cross body, whether it disappeared or what happened to it, that the material elements, what happened to his body, we don't know. But his body changed into spiritual existence. Prabhupada says, Prabhupada says his material body changed into spiritual body, became in spiritual existence, and then and material body and spiritual body became one automatically. And that can happen. So in fact, Prabhupada says in his Upanishads, Krishna can convert matter into spirit, spirit into matter. He can do anything, whatever he likes. And here is an example where he converted matter into spirit. He did that for Dhruva. His body changed into spiritual existence and became illuminating. In this way, he became one with other paraphernalia or Lord Vishnu. That means his body became transcendental. That is means beyond sattva, rajo, tamagun, and he became one with Vishnu, Vaikuntha, and the devotees. So that's the hair point. The point is the point is Dhruva, by this, his example of Vishnu, through the example of Dhruva, he's helping us to explain how should we do devotion and what is the perfection of life and what is the perfection of and what will happen when you become perfect. That's the whole point. So when we become perfect, we'll die, or what will happen? We'll disappear? No. And you become perfect, at the time of death, a plane is going to come. And now you know which kind of plane will come. And you know, if you don't become perfect, then what will happen? If you become perfect, what's going to happen? If you don't become perfect, well, we are going to take another birth. And if we lose devotion, then what's going to happen? Now, it's pretty complex. What's going to happen, nobody knows. There are general rules that scriptures recommend, general guidance, but then there are always exceptions and complexities and loopholes. Karmana ghanoti. It's very difficult to understand what's going to happen, even for the greatest of rishis. So, well, we are not even interested what's going to happen. What we are interested is whether we attain love of God or not. Whether we'll be able to fulfill all the desires of Lord Vishnu. Always. Whether we'll be able to fulfill his desires to the maximum possible extent. Whether we will be able to make his service and him as the center of our lives. That's what our concern is. Rest is up to Vishnu. We have surrendered our I to him. That surrender. Krishna says, surrender I to me. The I-ness, the I which you have. I want that. And when we surrender I to Krishna, I and my to Krishna, then Krishna will decide what will happen with that I, your I. And the devotee becomes absolutely fearless. That's what is devotion all about. That was Dhruva Maharaj all about. And this pastime. Yeah, Hare Krishna. Is there anybody wants to ask anything? I'll just stop here. I think time is up.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for such a detailed and very beautiful class. I had a couple of questions. The first one was when you were describing about the Yamadutas, how they appear to different people. My question is, are the Yamadutas kind of a set of different Yamadutas or different people with different forms, or is it a product of the person's consciousness or mental option that they are seeing such images, or is it that the Yamadutas themselves appear to be differently in different?
Actually, it is Yamadutas appearing differently. It's not to do with consciousness. There are different people and there are many Yamadutas, and actually they can transform their appearance, and they do that according to the person, according to the credits of the person. So it's not with his it's not the perspective of that person.
Mm-hmm.
It is Yamadutas are it's really happening. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point.
Thank you, Prabhu. The other question I had was when you were talking about the Pitris, you were saying that how Yamaraj, he actually was in the Pitraloka, whereas his office is, when he goes to Naraka. So my question was, can you clarify this about the Pitris living in the Pitraloka as well as in the moon, on the other side of the moon? Is there something that you can comment on?
What's that? Can you repeat?
About where the Pitris reside.
Where? Okay, fine. Yeah. It's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam okay, fine. So let me explain you like that. So we know we are on Earth. Now above Earth we have Maharjanas, Tapa, Satte. Like Bhu. This is Bhu. Earth is called Bhu. And above this, we have Bhuvar, Swaha, Mahar, Janas, Tapa, Satya. So six planets above Earth. So above Bhulok is Bhuvar Lok, where ghostly people stay, ghostly entities. Above Bhuvar, there is Swaha, that is Swarg Lok, demigods. Then there is Maharjanas Tapasatya, where there is Rishis and Brahmaji stays. And below Earth, it is Atal, Vital, Sutal, Tal, Atal, Mahadalas, Atal, Patal. There are seven planets below Earth. So this forms a total 14 planetary systems. Now below Patal, which is the lowest planet in this floating planetary systems, there is Pitrilok. Now there we have a Pitrilok, and there Pitri stays, like most very, 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 very pious forefathers. They stay there. And then below Pitrilok, just below Pitrilok, there is Yamlok. Yamlok and other hell around it. Hellish planets. Below Pitrilok, there is Yamlok, and then there is hellish planets around it. Around and below it. So Yamraj stays in Pitrilok, the Pitras, and then he regularly, daily visits Yamloka, and there he gives his decisions. And people who go to hell, they go to hell. There are 24 types of principal hells, and then there are innumerable types of secondary hells. So that's a whole arrangement.
So, Pitrilok. My question about when we talk about the Pitraloka, we also, I don't know if I could find a reference for this, there is also, they also say that some of the Pitras, they also live on the other side of the moon planet. So is there something that you could throw light on regarding this fact?
No, they don't stay, but what is it is Pitras, when they go to Pitrilok, they go through moon planet.
Oh, they go through,
and that is
moon
why they said
planet.
This.
Okay.
Yeah. And so moon planet is the channel to go to Pitrilok. So that's why they say stay on the other side of moon planet. That's not referring to the location. That's a channel from where
channel.
They go.
Okay. So it's not that physically these Pitras.
No,
it's not like that.
So moon planet is a door to that dimension. They enter that dimension of Pitrilok through moon.
Okay, and they don't reside there technically.
No, they are not there. Okay. They are down.
Okay, Prabhu. Mm. Thank you so much for clarifying the point.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Bangat Khenam, Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. Thank you so much for the beautiful class. Prabhu, I just have this question in what Kriti Vilasini Mataji was asking, that you said that there is a separate Yamraj for the pious people and separate, sorry, Yamaduta, sorry, for the pious people and for those who are non-devotees. So, is there any reference in the Bhagavatam or somewhere else where...
No. Told in the beginning.
People, they have seen Yamraj in a different form, not in a black form.
There is a reference in Garuda Puran. Garuda Puran, there is a whole reference. So in Garuda Puran and also in Markandeya Puran, there are whole descriptions of how they appear and what's happening and how they appear differently. It's all there. So it's there.
Okay, and pious people also have to go through Yamaraj only, right?
Yeah, of course. Because they're non-devotees, no?
Thank you, Prabhu.
That's okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. well, I had a different question, but I just want to follow up on an answer that I heard that the Yamadutas, they change their appearance according to the sinful or even pious person that they're coming for. And so one appearance that you described was the one that was like the embodiment of envy. So I just found it interesting that a Yamaduta who is through and through pure envy, that same person can transform himself to become so loving and attractive to a pious person? Is that so?
What's that? Yeah, I didn't get the question.
Yes, you were saying in your answer just now that the same Yamaduta can transform his appearance.
Okay. I understand.
And so I just found it very strange that a Yamaduta who is the embodiment of envy can so drastically transform himself into a person who is completely loving and beautiful.
They can do that. Yeah, they have special prerogative in that, and they can do that.
Okay.
How they do that, I don't know. No, I'm saying how they are doing that. That I don't know. That's not mentioned, but they are doing
that's
like
okay.
that.
That's okay. Okay, my actual question was this. You said that there are two things we should circumambulate, which means making Krishna and his devotees the center of our lives, and we should worship. And both those things sound a bit the same to me because they both entail only serving Krishna's desires. So I'm not seeing the distinction so much.
Okay. So I understood your point. No, both things are, I mean to say both things can be clubbed together, but then there's subtle difference there.
Yes,
circumambulating means, that difference is, in circumambulation means you give prime importance to the desires of Lord Vishnu. That means to fulfill his desires, you are ready to leave material desires and anything else. That's a top priority. So that means circumambulation. But then worshipping means to actually fulfill his variety of desires. Now, the first point, circumambulation means priority.
Mm-hmm.
And the second point was to actually fulfill it after setting it up.
Yes.
Now, because many devotees might be fulfilling his desires, but then that's not a priority for them. And
yes.
That's the whole.
That was just perfect, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Prabhuji Dandavat Pranam. Thank you very much for making in class. Shri Prabhupada Tilak Vidur Ki Jai.
Yeah. Hare Krishna, I can't hear you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for the beautiful class. Is there anybody having any more questions or comments for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you. Very, very wonderful class. So on Yamadutas, Prabhuji, they are serving Yamaraj, who is Mahajan. So, I'm just trying to understand that what is their position? Are they eternal or like, is there any mention about how for to become a Brahma, it says that you have to do so and so Varnashrama Dharma for so many lives. What is their destination and who gets to be to do that service for Yamaraj?
Well, for Yamaraj, it's not mentioned anywhere, I don't know. That's why my research goes, at least for Brahma is mentioned, but for Yamaraj, I don't know. But at least one thing is there, he should, he should have some fast credits, but exactly what's the calculation, I have no idea. At least our Yamaraj is a Mahabhagavat. Other Yamaraj in other universes, we have no idea what's happening and who becomes. But at least one thing is clear, that whoever takes the post of Yamaraj, so he's a jiva tattva. That is one thing is clear. But in the case of Brahma, it's not like that because the Brahma's post can also be taken by Vishnu tattva if there is no qualified living entity. But at least for Yamaraj, it is jiva tattva. But at the same time, if there is no qualified living entity for Yamaraj also, and in fact for the Indra also. It's the same thing for these powerful demigods, powerful post. Vishnu personally takes his post. So sometimes Yamaraj can be Vishnu in some of the planets himself. And in fact, it is also said, if there is nobody qualified to become, to take post of any demigod, like Varun, Vayu, Agni, Indra, there's nobody in some universe, and Vishnu becomes all of them. All of them, all demigods, Vishnu will become. So, at least that much is clear. But when it comes to Jiva Tattva, then for Brahma we know that is 1,000 lifetimes for Nashram Dharma, for Yamaraj post, for Indra post, we don't know. We have no idea. But for the post of Indra, yeah, at least that is mentioned that a person has must have done at least 99 Ashwamedh Yajnas, and then he will get a post of Indra, at least that. Others, Vayu and Yamaraj, I have not read anywhere. And nobody mentions what's the past credits you should have. I don't know. Some research is required.
Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. I don't know how about your time. I have one question, but that's not the class.
I have time because the time is shifted now. My class is late, so you can ask. I don't know if this call has time or not, but I have.
Okay, Prabhuji, so this is from Bhagavad Gita, that verse, Yoginam Api Sarvesham Madgate Nantaratmana. So there, and also in another place, Krishna says that one who thinks of me within himself. So I was trying to understand that what is this, one who thinks of me, that is there, we can understand that one who thinks of Krishna. So why this statement, one who thinks of me within himself? Let me read the translation exactly, Prabhuji.
So Yogina Api Sarvesham Madgate Nantaratmana. So that verse, no? Yeah. One who thinks of me within himself, isn't it? So that's what you're telling?
Yeah. Maybe I should just read the translation. If anyone has, can read the translation.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, Hare Krishna, you're reading?
Yeah, I can read. And of all the yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all.
So then Mataji, what's the question?
Another place also in Bhagavatam, what is this, Prabhuji, thinks of me within himself means?
Oh, actually, actually, this expression is used by Prabhupada many times. And in fact, this is used even if not directly in this verse, but it is evident Prabhupada has used one who thinks of me within himself. And that's the whole point. I mean, to say Prabhupada could have written one who thinks of me. Isn't it? That's a question, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a question.
There must be some reason to write within me. Otherwise, within me is actually an editing error. There, it seems like that. It's a redundant word within me because thinks of me is always within me. And that's the whole point. But the whole point is madgater antaratmana. The whole word, the word uses gater antaratmana. One who thinks of me antaratmana. Antar means within. And atmana means himself, within. One who thinks of me within himself. That's Sanskrit there. Krishna is using this expression. Besides saying one who simply thinks of me. Otherwise he could have says. So otherwise think of me. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita many times. Ma manu smare uddecha tesham suttam bhastam priti pravakam dadami prati. So tesham evanu ganvartam amaramam chavjam tama. I mean to say there are so many verses there. Where it says, you think of me. Mamanusmaradhacha. Fight, think of me. But here he specifically says, Madhagatirantaratmana. And the whole point here is, think of me within himself means, you think of me and never forget me. That's the whole point. Either you say think of me, but then think of me is not complete, because you can think of him at the same time, then the whole point is after some time you can forget. Or you can say think of me 24 hours. Mama Anusmara, Anusmara, the whole point in Anusmara is that the word Anu is added. It is not Smaranam. Krishna would have said, Mam Smara Yudhicha, think of me and fight. But Krishna says, Anusmara, Anusmara, Anu has Anusmara and Smara, Smaran. They are different. Smaran means think. Anusmaran means, so this has many meanings, but one of the meanings of Anusmara is 24 hours. Anu means always. That's one of the meaning of Anu there, the prefix. Anudinam, now that's the whole point, day after day. Anudinam, dina means day, Anudinam means day after day. So Anusmara means moment after moment, you remember me. So either you can say that, but then Krishna says, okay, but then still there is a lack. You can remember Krishna moment after moment, but then at one moment, maybe in future, you can forget him. That's the whole point. So that's why they said, always remember Krishna, never forget him. Never forget him. Even in future, don't do some things which will make you forget Krishna. So that's the same thing. Think of me within himself. Now, one meaning of this is what I'm explaining. Now, one meaning is this, think of me within himself, is you should think of me and never forget me. Never create some emotions within yourself which will destroy this thinking. Because no external factor can destroy your thought of Krishna. It's not possible. There is nothing in this world which can actually destroy the remembrance of Lord Vishnu. But what can destroy is you yourself. His remembrance. By changing your will. By changing your free will. And that's why Krishna specifically adds here, think of me within himself. You think of me. But within yourself, don't change your free will. Otherwise you will forget me. So the whole point is, think of me, okay, remember me, and within himself means remember me, but the trick of remembering me always and never forget me at any moment is to keep your free will intact. Within himself, keep your free will intact. The moment you change your free will, the moment you choose something other than Krishna within yourself, even in your emotions and thoughts, that time, that moment will forget him. So here it is a twin combination of Smaranam and Sankalpa. That's the whole point, the will. The will is called Sankalpa, free will. And Krishna says, well, if you want to really remember me, like Dhruva, you have to combine these both. Think of me within himself. Mad gater antaratma. That is whole point. Gata means to go. Antar means within. Atmana means himself, within Atmana, within him. So within oneself. So gater means go. You should, the devotee has to go within himself and search for his free will and correct it. Otherwise, real remembrance will not be possible. Think of me, you'll not be able to do it. And that's one meaning, that free will thing. And how to maintain that free will, how to maintain that continuous free will so that we don't choose something other than Krishna, so that it doesn't destroy remembrance. The example given is of a fish. A fish cannot live without water. That's the whole point. And that, because a fish cannot live without water, the fish is attracted towards water. And that's why it cannot live without water. Because of the attraction of fish towards water, it gets a body which is only suitable for water. Now, that desire of that living entity, an attraction for water, gives it a body which is just suitable only for water, and it cannot live without water. And that's why when you take out fish, it will die. Because the desire is expressed not only in the mind, so yeah, yeah, the not only mind but also the body, it goes right in the body, so it is said face, and this face is the index of mind. So desires in the mind are expressed in the face. So desires in the living entity is expressed in the gross body, and that's what fish is. So because it has so much attraction for water, it gets a body which is only suitable for water. So similarly, if you have a desire, the root of desire is free will. They are almost the same thing. Free will is the capacity to choose that desire. So if your free will is only for Krishna and his service, and if you don't actually tamper your free will, if you don't injure your free will by doing something nonsense or by thinking something nonsense within yourself, and change your desire to serve Krishna to material desire, if you don't do that, then it will be possible for you to think of Krishna always. But if you do that, then no matter how much hard you try, you'll not be able to think of him. So that's a twin combination of free will, or let's say free will and desire, and remembrance of God. Think of me within himself. Mad kater antaratmana. That's how it goes. That's his expression all of it.
Yeah, very, very beautiful, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Okay, so I think...
Oh, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Actually, I had a question that I forgot to ask, if you still have time.
Yeah.
You know, it was when you were discussing the deeper meaning behind the various items that we offer Krishna in worship. So, well, for one thing, it wasn't so clear to me, you know, flowers and incense. Anyway, I was wondering if either you could explain the meaning behind the various items, or you can direct us to where we can find the meanings for
where you can find the meaning. This is a big question, because...
Or you can explain them, I don't know.
I mean to say it will take a whole hour now to explain, because it's a whole science of deity worship, and then I can explain you, but then I think we can do a different class for that.
Yeah, that would be nice, because, you know, otherwise it becomes just too mechanical or ritualistic.
Yeah, you're right. And because I've read, I mean to say it's all there in Satkriya Sar Dipika, but more of it is given in Panchrat text, and also in Vallabhacharya's works and Madhvacharya's works, because I've read a lot.
It would be nice if you could give a class on this.
Yeah, we can do that maybe next time. Let's see. Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so if there's nothing, we can stop here, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the beautiful class and a very nice question-answer session. We are very grateful to you. If there are no more questions, we would like to end the call here, offering obeisances to the Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpa tarobhyasya kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo namo nama. Ananta koti Vaishnav rindaki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Maharaj ki jai. Keshavananda ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you very much.